to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
It's Thursday night and you're listening to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia Elcoury.
And I'm Cathy Weston.
Right, so tonight's show is all about weaning. And Cathy, if you think weaning, there's only really one name that comes to everybody's mind.
Absolutely.
And it's Annabelle Carmel. And I'm delighted to say she's going to be joining us on the show later on this evening. And you can quiz her as well. Send in your questions if you like to showforparents@gmail.com, because it's a unique opportunity to speak to Annabelle directly. Put your question to her.
That's it.
And anything you want to know about weaning, she really is the authority on it. Alternatively, you can call us on 01727 839926.
That's right. So we're going to be delighted to welcome Annabelle Carmel a little bit later in the show. We're very excited about it. But before then, Lydia, we're going to be speaking about weaning issues with two local mums, Helen Whittington, who's a mum of three, and Jo Swindells, who's a mum of two. So we'll be having a little chat with the ladies.
92.6 FM, the best kept secret in West Hearts. It's Radio Verulam.
We're talking tonight on the Parent Show about weaning your baby. Scary phase for many mums and dads.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying. I mean,
the first time round, it's absolutely unbelievable.
It was scary stuff, wasn't it? And we're joined in the studio tonight by Jo Swindells and Helen Whittington. A very warm welcome, ladies.
Hello.
Thank you.
So we're going to kick off tonight with, let's just have a chat about weaning. I personally find it absolutely, as we said before, terrifying, not knowing where to begin and what's going to happen when you actually put food in their mouths and how they're going to react and what happens if they don't eat. I mean, what has been your experience so far, Helen?
Well, I've had two children already and, the girls, they seem to take to it quite well, but I seem to forget everything by the time it comes
back. The third time round.
Even though they're really close together. Yeah. So, Max is now 16 weeks, and I'm thinking about starting, like, at the weekend, but is it too soon?
So how many months is 16 weeks?
4 months.
4 months.
Yeah, I think they say 17 weeks is, like,
the optimal, I mean, the beginning part, isn't it?
Yeah, not before.
Yeah, so there's quite a lot of guidelines conflicting, really, about when to wean. Lydia, would you agree?
That's it, and that's one question we really want to ask Annabelle Carmel when she comes on air, because everybody says a different thing, don't you? I mean, I went in to see the health visitor just before I started to wean my daughter about 6 weeks ago. At the start of the conversation, she said, wait for another 4 weeks. And by the end of the conversation, she went, I'll just go home and do it.
When I had my first child, my mother said, I weaned your brother when he was 8 weeks old on pureed carrots.
And probably proud of it as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, I won't talk about how he turned out, but the point is, you know, everyone, you don't know what to do as a first-time mom, especially, don't you? But when it comes to even the second and third child, I'm sure you'd agree, Helen, it's still confusing.
Yeah, I am confused. And I've got so much less time as well. So I think the first time it was exciting, you'd start with buying pureed
and organic broccoli.
Cooking with ice cube trays. But this time I'm thinking, what packet food is suitable on the shelf, you know?
What about you, Jo? You've got a 16-week-old, is that correct?
No, a 9-week-old. Yeah. Oh,
so we're just celebrating the fact you've actually come out tonight.
It's very exciting.
Congratulations.
This is a night out for me now, officially. This is a night out for me, so I'm quite excited. I put some mascara on and everything before I came.
It's wasted.
I hope your social life improves.
I hope so too. Well, I asked my mum, and she said, well, we just put gravy on everything.
Gravy.
So just put gravy on everything. That was the advice back in the day.
Plenty of salt.
40 years ago. Put some gravy on it.
Yeah,
so I said things have changed a bit. And my mum said, well, babies haven't changed.
So
it's quite interesting, because when you read the guidelines, it's only recently the guidelines changed. So a few years ago, even if you'd got one who was, say, 5 or 6, it was weaning at 4 to 6 months. And now suddenly the health seems to be quite strict about 6 months.
Yeah,
it's quite a big difference.
And depends on which health visitor you speak to as well, of course. This is the thing.
I think people are confused as well as, what are the risks if you ignore? For a first-time mom, to ignore health visitor advice is very scary, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yet you're intuitive about your own child, and you feel like maybe they do need to be fed up, and, you know, maybe they'd sleep better if they... Mm. So it's a bit of experimentation involved.
Jo, how was your experience first time? You have a daughter, 2.5-year-old. How was your experience with weaning her?
Well, I weaned her at 17 weeks. She was a big baby when she was born, so I somehow thought in my head that she needed to stay big, so I'd wean her early. But also, for me, I was more influenced by what my peers were doing, my friends locally were doing, than actually what the health visitor said. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but I think it's because you see more of your friends.
Yeah, yeah.
So actually than you do with the health visitor. So actually it was, I was more influenced by them. So by 17 weeks, the buzz was, let's all start weaning.
Yeah.
So we all started weaning.
Yeah, that's an important point, isn't it?
Absolutely.
If you don't have, and I think as a first time mom, to have that collaboration between your friends and people to talk to is so vital, isn't it?
That's
for all
it.
Issues, really, mm. Not just weaning.
That's it. I mean, the health visitor's not sitting there bouncing her child on your lap. Do you know what I mean? Your friends are going through it. They've done it. It's working. You know, their children are fine. You're going to put a lot of emphasis on that, aren't you?
And I think also you can share puree with your friends, whereas the health visitor doesn't come round and give you some some nice puree. So you can do swapsies on the puree with your friends as well.
And when one person, crucially, makes a batch of organic broccoli, like my husband did, sweet potato puree, which my child wouldn't eat, and we had a freezer full of it, you can spread it around your mates.
That's it. Or the one that we used to share, a very kind friend of mine, Alice, used to share her liver because I couldn't bear to cook it. It's so disgusting. But she'd cook it and just give little bags to everybody. So that was your iron ticked, you know, but you didn't have to smell it.
It's a weaning club, isn't
yeah,
it? It's
that's
the weaning
it.
Club. And Helen, what about you? You're a mum of three. So how did you find your first two experiences of weaning?
Not too traumatic, I think. I think we just sort of took it as it came, you know. And
covered everything in gravy, did you?
Well, no, they're both vegetarian, actually.
Oh.
Which is a kind of question I've got for later, because now I've got a boy. I don't know why it should feel any different, but he's a big boy, like you say, and whether he requires some meat or
liver. That's interesting, is it? So you've raised both your girls vegetarian, and your hesitation is now because you have a boy, he needs meat.
I don't know whether that's just because my husband's a big meat eater and I'm the vegetarian in the household, that, you know, the girls should follow and the boys should follow dad.
Interesting. And we've had lots of questions tonight for this particular show, haven't we, Lydia?
That's right.
I think one of them does cover the area of vegetarianism and weaning, so hopefully we'll get some answers later.
We'll deal with that. Any negative experience, girls? Anything about weaning that was particularly daunting?
Not so much daunting, but it was a bit boring. Is it okay to say that? It was a bit boring. It's like, oh, look, here's a tiny, tiny teaspoon. It's gone in and nearly all of it's come out again. So it was not so much daunting as one of those things that you think, oh, here's the next stage. It's exciting. And actually the practice is you've got to be very, very patient. And, you know, a couple of spoonfuls is quite an achievement for them. And there's a temptation to make them go faster and do more quickly and take different kinds of food.
Industrial feeding. Speed feeding. Or what we used to call it, grouting. You know, just kind of, you're just kind of filling in a gap, you know, scraping off the leftovers and slapping it on again, you know.
I think as well, when you're weaning, patience is a key word, isn't it? And also, it's very hard to just clean up after them all the time. You know, it's good to make them, you know, if they can splat their hands in the puree and then lick their fingers, that's one way of sort of introducing them to it, isn't it?
Yes.
Maybe.
I'd really rather not experiment.
In my case, they're splattered everywhere. Especially the sort of orange foods.
Mm. Which they all seem to end up orange. Even start green seem to end up orange.
It's so true. And have you made any preparations, Helen? Do you know what, I mean, how are you going to decide what you're going to do? And
I've bought the packet of baby rice.
That's first step.
The first step. That was the only thing that seemed to be from 4 months on the shelves.
That's right.
But then I guess it's pureed pear and all of those sweet potato lovely mashes. But I don't know where to find the time.
Yeah, this is the thing.
I know. I think a big factor in weaning is what utensils you use, because I find if you use a different type of spoon, it can make a big, massive difference to a small baby. So if they don't like the cold metal spoon, sometimes they like the sort of
The rubbery ones.
Of course, it took me a very long time to realise why the spoon changes colour. Because I was like, well, that's interesting. Those spoons, I take them out of the dishwasher and they'd be yellow. And I go, I thought I had red spoons. And then I was wondering why it was kind of turning, you know, different
colours. Back to its normal colour.
But those are useful utensils. I find that they would actually feed better.
The temperature ones.
Yeah, because they're just sort of soft, a little bit malleable, and the baby seems
that's
to...
That's what I mean, for when you're grouting. It just kind of slaps it on. But they're a great tip. The other thing is these kind of all-in-one baby steamer cookers. I know they're quite expensive, but they're so easy. They
Fantastic.
Make weaning a piece of cake. You know, you do it all in one.
They're just, because you just steam it and then pour it into the bottom and then just mix it up in one.
Yeah.
And you feel so good, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, it doesn't matter. You give them a packet at the end of the day, but at least you've kind of started them off, you know, with the right first taste, isn't that? That's the way you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
But I had such a fantastic experience with weaning my son. He ate everything, no matter how disgusting it was. Didn't matter. He ate everything. It was never a problem. And he'd eat. I don't think there was a single thing he refused. So I was kind of lulled into false sense of security. Mm. And now my daughter's refusing the odd thing, and it really flaps me. I'm like, what do you mean you don't like it?
Everything. If the first one is easy like that, I mean, it is a bit of a shock, I think, to have a sort of a child who might refuse the odd thing.
And parents get really distressed about it, don't they? And I think as the parents get more stressed, then the child refuses more, and it gets a real big issue.
And they can tell, if I refuse this, mummy looks really worried. This is good fun.
Extra cuddles as well. Yeah. Back out of the high chair, extra cuddles. Yeah.
But have you guys not found that if you sort of ignore them a bit, they've more of a tendency to eat what's in front of them, if you just kind of step away a little bit?
I think
bit
it
sometimes.
Depends who's with them. My daughter started and still eats much better for any grandparent than for any parent.
Really?
And she always comes back from the childminder with everything eaten, and always has done from being very small. And for mummy and daddy, it's playtime.
Really? Mm. Isn't it funny?
Yeah. Naughty. And so have we all got sort of, do you think with your second, third child, the anxiety levels have gone down to some extent because we're a little bit more experienced?
I think so. I think it becomes more intuitive. And, I guess you do relax into it. And perhaps some of the, you know, raw food mashing does come, you know, to the wayside, and you have to reach for those Ella's pouches and plum pots. Unfortunately,
when you're out and about and things like that,
yeah,
I think you can always get the child done as well. Get the older child to do all the mashing and pure. it does make it a little bit easy if you sort of employ their services as well.
That's it. The thing that I found is the biggest difference now. I mean, I would have been petrified to put a whole banana near my son until he was, I don't know, probably 9-10 months, you know, and could practically chop it himself. But with my daughter now, I feel more comfortable giving her, you know, lumps of toast and any kind of finger food that I would have been much more reticent to give her the first time round.
Yeah, the fear of choking. I think the fear that you've mentioned, Helen, the fear that they won't eat is fundamental to scarily for parents, isn't it? You know, you're terrified they will not eat, and basically, you know, it's
wither
not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think the second fear, you know, as an everyday fear, is the fear of them choking. Mm. So you're terrified of how they'll react to the food. Maybe allergic reactions as well. People are a bit more fearful of these days. I don't know.
And I think you don't trust yourself when you're a first parent. You trust almost anybody else more than yourself about advice for your baby. Whereas the second time round, when you've been through, when the first one's thriving and running around like a lunatic, then you think, okay, well, we can do this now the second time round, and we can be a bit more casual about it.
Yeah, it gives you so much more confidence, doesn't
it? And also all your stuff's second hand, so you're not so worried about getting it dirty.
Jill, what would you like to get from the Annabelle interview later on? What is it you're hoping to get in? What information are you hoping to get from her?
Well, I think it'd be interesting to hear her current thinking, because I think, you know, I've got one of her books, and it's, you know, I've had a look at the recipes and used quite a lot of the stuff in there. It'd be interesting to see what her current thinking is on the topic of weaning, and has it changed in some of her original material?
Brilliant. Helen?
Yeah, I mean, I think she has got some fantastic recipes, and I think we all started with her books to get on weaning. And if any of her advice has changed, you know, like she takes guidance from health visitors, or whether she can confirm what they say.
Brilliant. Okay, well, hopefully we'll get all the answers for you a little bit later on.
Join Danny Smith weekdays from 4 to 7 p.m. for West Hearts Drive Time, the stylish way to get home in Hearts. With features including History Focus, a look at the community notice board, local news, weather, the latest travel and traffic, astonishing guests, celebrity birthdays, info bites, and the best music from both today and yesterday. That's West Hearts Drive Time with Danny Smith, exclusively on 92.6 FM Radio Barulum.
Thanks to Jo Swindles and Helen Whittington, local moms, who come in to chat to us a little bit about their weaning experiences. Now, we're delighted to say that we have a very special guest live on air joining us on the Parent Show this evening, and that is a lady who actually doesn't even need an introduction. It's Annabel Carmel. But Cathy, give us a little background.
Well, we're absolutely chuffed to have Annabel on the show tonight. Annabel is the world's leading expert, as we all know, and best-selling author on baby, children's food and nutrition. And believe it or not, Lydia, since 1991, she's written 14 books selling over 2 million copies. And of course, Annabel is also a mum of three. So no one really is better placed to advise us and the listeners on the subject of weaning our babies.
And this is a very important year for Annabel, as 2011 marks the 20th anniversary of her first book, The Complete Baby and Toddler Meal Planner. Annabel, thank you very much for joining us on the show this evening.
It's my pleasure.
We're so excited about having you on the show. We've had an amazing reaction from our listeners.
Oh, that's so nice.
Oh, yeah, and we've got, just to give you a sample of some of the responses that our listeners had. One listener said, "I love AK, she rocks."
Oh, so nice.
Another one says, "AK's cookbook was my Bible when weaning both boys."
Oh.
And then another one, "For me, Annabel created a food Bible for mothers who want their kids to love and enjoy good food. My two are older now, but I still flick through their superfood books, and it brings back happy memories of when we were just jumping out of their high chairs with excitement about which dish was coming next, and traffic light lollies at parties. Wonderful times. Thank you, Annabel."
You know, it's amazing, because 20 years ago I couldn't get the book published. No one wanted to publish it. And now, like, almost every mother has a baby has this book and uses it and enjoys using it, and the kids love the food. So it was really, really hard at the beginning, which makes it even more fantastic now that it's such a popular book and has changed so many people's lives. And you know what's interesting? More than half the people in the country now make fresh baby food, and it wasn't like that at the beginning.
That's fantastic. What a testimony.
And it's a big difference.
It has made such a huge difference, and everybody uses your book. Everybody I know, every mum.
That's because the purees are so delicious. You can actually eat them yourself. You can actually add extra stock, which I did actually when I was writing my book, because I never cooked for my husband. I was only writing baby purees. I just add extra stock and making soup. Every night he had soup. It was an extended baby puree. It wasn't really soup at all.
Well, he was properly weaned at that stage. You didn't need to worry.
And I think, Annabel, I'd just like to say that other listeners have commented on, it's not just the weaning stage that you've really helped them with. It's also, it's leaving a food, you know, a legacy within their families of better eating habits.
For everybody, I think, you know, mums start thinking about how they're eating when they have their child. It's the apple of their eye, and they want to do it right at the beginning. And then they change their own habits as well. And I don't just write books for babies, I write books for family food as well, like the whole family to eat together. In fact, I've written 24 books, not 14.
Oh, oh my God. That's out of date.
Just about one book a year with a few extra ones.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I love them all. I really care about them, and I work so hard. Like today I spent practically the whole day in the kitchen because I'm doing a book on eating and pregnancy. It's something I haven't done a book on. I did a book on... It was called The First Year Planner, which had some eating and pregnancy recipes. But I think it's really important what mums eat when they're pregnant.
Absolutely.
And also to think about freezing foods when they come home from hospital, they've got something to eat. Because, you know, when you're breastfeeding and, like, you're not feeling too great, you need to have good food.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so I've been working on that today.
Well, Annabel, we've been inundated with questions from our lovely listeners. And we'd really like to kick off tonight with one of the biggest questions that's come through. We know the advice about weaning is roughly around 6 months of age for your baby, or alternatively, it's been 4 months. We've got lots of conflicting pieces of advice as mums. What is the bottom line? It's a scary time, as you can appreciate, for a first-time mum especially. The thought of replacing milk with real food is quite a daunting one. What is your biggest piece of advice about when to wean?
Well, I would trust your own instincts as a mother. I think that is a very important thing to remember, that you know your child better than anyone else, and you know when your child isn't getting enough from their milk. Now, physiologically, babies can have solid food from 17 weeks. I mean, the ideal time to wean, I would say, is 6 months, but some babies may need food earlier. And from 17 weeks, it's absolutely fine to give simple purees, like an apple puree, a carrot puree, a sweet potato, like simple fruit and vegetable purees would be absolutely fine. So no need to worry. And sometimes a baby is not satisfied by her breast milk or her bottle, and, you know, just it's very restless, or the baby becomes very interested in what you're eating. You'll see signs. You'll see a difference in your baby's behavior. And I think there's no hard and fast rule. The baby is an individual, you know, like we are, and you will know. I think, you know, it's fine. Sometime between 4 and 6 months is absolutely fine to feed your baby simple solids.
Okay, so
if you try for 6 months, it's great, especially if there is any history of allergy in the family, because breastfeeding is very good for that.
Okay, so basically mums should trust their own judgment, yes, really, on that first question.
Yes.
Annabel, can you do your baby any damage by starting, just say if you start on week 17 as opposed to week 24? Is 24 better than 17? No. So
no.
It's all...
Some people say, you know, it's more likely to induce an allergy, but there's no evidence to show that whatsoever. So no.
All right, that's great. Okay, we've got a question from Laura Lane in St Albans. If you start weaning early at 4 months, do you still need to wait until 6 months before introducing dairy, wheat, etc.? Georgia started at 17 weeks and eats everything we give her. She wants to breastfeed all the time, day and night, so she clearly has an appetite for more.
I would not introduce dairy until 6 months. I think it's probably not a good idea to introduce cow's milk for 6 months. I would say the same with wheat. And certain foods, like maybe eggs, I would wait until 6 months.
Okay, and what would be the rationale for that, Annabel?
Well, first of all, formula milk has certain nutrients which are better for your baby, so why give cow's milk? It's just not necessary.
Okay.
Because you can give cow's milk later on, it's fine, but it contains more salt as well, so I wouldn't give it. Eggs, occasionally you see an allergy with eggs, I'd wait until 6 months. And wheat, you know, gluten, allergy, I would wait again until 6 months. But most other foods you can give.
Okay, great. And another question from Laura. At what stage should you introduce puddings?
It depends what the pudding is. I mean, puddings could be fruit, so you can give them, you know, from whatever stage you start weaning, whether it's 4, 5, or 6 months. An apple puree I would consider as a pudding. If she means, like, a sponge pudding and things like that, I mean, rice pudding would be okay for babies. I would tend to avoid sort of empty calories because babies' tummies are very small, so I would give what I would call nutrient-dense foods, foods that have some benefit nutritionally. So I wouldn't give sponge puddings or sponge cakes or anything like that to a baby because, you know, they have difficulty enough in eating what they need to grow. So I would hold off those until, you know, your baby's 18 months to 2 years. It's just not necessary. I would base most of my puddings on fruit.
Okay, great. We have another question from Sinead O'Reilly in Dublin. I have 18-month-old twins. I've always followed Annabel Carmel's book from the very start. In the main twin too, so I've always fed well while lead twin Hannah was fussy and difficult. More recently this has changed. Other than Annabel Carmel's spaghetti bolognese, twin two won't eat at lunchtime when twin one is eating really well. Twin two is happy to snack, slice of cheese, bit of apple, breadstick, but nothing substantial. Then at tea time she's ravenous. Should I keep her main meal until evening or should I persist with her main meal at lunchtime?
It's this thing about, you know, I mean, children do become very fussy. I think 90% of children go through a fussy stage. And I think if you continue to give what they want, you just make them even more fussy. So I would break the pattern and I wouldn't give her cheese, apple and breadsticks. And if she doesn't want anything else, I would just let her be hungry because a hungry child will be a less fussy child. So you then eventually break the pattern, you can give her something else. I mean, you can give her, she already likes pasta, so you could do pasta with chicken and broccoli. You could do a macaroni cheese. Or you could do something like chicken and apple balls, really nice recipe I do. Minced chicken and apple, made into little balls with some chicken stock and thyme, really tasty. And she'll eventually start eating other things. I think the problem is that they'll just get into this very kind of narrow repertoire of foods, which isn't a good idea. So I would stop the apple breadsticks and cheese and put something else into her diet at lunchtime. And she may not want to eat it to begin with, but you know what? After a couple of days, you'll break the pattern and she'll have much more variety in her diet, which will be better for her. I know it might be difficult for you in the short term, but in the long term, you'll be doing your child much more good.
Thank you, Annabel. And we've talked a little bit earlier with a few local mums in the studio talking about weaning issues. And one of the things that cropped up is when you're out and about and you'd like to give your baby home-cooked purees. I mean, is it okay to bring purees out of the fridge, out for a day in the park, for example? Will they keep? Will they go off? Is that an ideal thing to do, in your opinion?
You can still get fresh food, so if you don't have anywhere to heat it, what you can do is you can get a thermos flask and put the food into the thermos flask, and even if it's just lukewarm, it's absolutely fine.
Okay.
Then you can have things like, you know, banana, avocado, papaya, which you can just mash, so you just peel them and mash them, and it's fresh, which is fantastic as well. So, and fruit purees you don't need to heat up. In fact, some vegetable purees can be fine as long as they're not really, really cold. I mean, babies will often eat things if they're not heated up. So I would start, if you want to go out and you know you're taking a baby out, I'd start giving her, like, very lukewarm purees. I mean, heat until they're hot and then leave until they're lukewarm and try her on those. And if she'll accept them, then put them in a thermos flask and they'll still be kind of lukewarm when you give them to her.
Yeah, I'd never even thought of putting it in a flask. That's such good advice. That's great.
I used to make these tiny thermos flasks for baby food, actually.
Yeah.
It's a really good idea.
Great tip, Annabel. Thank you.
There was a big We did a big survey, actually, on baby food recently, and the journalists tried all the different types of baby food. I mean, even the posh ones, like Plum Baby and Ella's Kitchen. And the fruit ones are, like, really good. They're not bad. Well, as soon as it's a savory puree, like chicken, fish or meat, they taste absolutely disgusting. She couldn't believe how terrible they taste. And I've always thought, like, why aren't there chilled baby purees in the baby aisle? Why is it the only aisle that has long-life food and only long-life food? When babies need better food, better quality food than anybody else. And I really feel it's terrible. It's because supermarkets won't put electricity into the baby aisle. If they did, they could put a fridge or a freezer there.
You could actually
transform the way you feed babies. Because if over 50% of people are making fresh baby food, the others are buying these long-life jars, which is just not good start for your baby.
No. Now, we have another question. This is from Marianne Painter in Charlotte, USA, in the States. I'm a single mother from North Carolina. My son is 24 months old and I still nurse him at least twice a day. My friends and family think I'm absolutely crazy. He and I are both comfortable doing this. I just don't think he and I are ready to wean yet. Is this healthy for him? Are there still benefits to nursing this long?
There's always benefits for breastfeeding, however long you do it, in fact. I mean, it's proven that breastfed babies, whether they're babies or toddlers, are less prone to get infections. Breastfeeding is good for children with food allergies, whatever age they are. The hormones present with breastfeeding continue to help to relax you as a mother and protect you against certain illnesses. So, yeah, there are benefits. And, you know, if you want to do it, then you should feel comfortable. And if your baby or your toddler wants to do it, I think it's absolutely fine, and I don't think you should listen to other people. I mean, it's most people don't breastfeed for more than 6 months. But it's absolutely fine. I know I have a friend of mine who breastfed for 2 years. She's a lovely lady. She enjoyed it. The baby enjoyed it. They had an enormous emotional kind of bond. And I think it's very nice if you want to do that. You know, we lead such busy lives, and it may be, like, a wonderful time for you. I love breastfeeding myself. It was a nice time with my child. I couldn't wait to go home and breastfeed and just have that quiet time with them. And, you know, if you want to extend it, then feel free. You shouldn't listen to other people. It won't do the baby any harm, and will do the baby good.
And psychologically, I mean, at some point the baby's going to have to stop nursing.
Well, when he gets teeth, it's actually quite uncomfortable, I think.
Yeah, well, he's 24 months old, so you'd imagine he's got quite a few teeth at this stage. I suppose the thing that I'd worry about most is that the inevitable has to happen at some time.
Of course.
The older the child is, the harder it'll be.
Yes, and of course, I mean, depending what age they are, they won't want to breastfeed anyway because, you know, they won't feel comfortable because their peer group aren't doing the same thing as them.
Indeed.
But, you know, I don't think most people would breastfeed beyond 2 years. But I know quite a lot of people have breastfed for 2 years. And it's fine. You know, if the mother wants to do it, it's absolutely fine.
Great stuff. Thank you, Annabelle. Annabelle, another question from a bit more locally now in St Albans, Heidi Ward. She's asked, how do you prevent your children from becoming fussy eaters when they're older? I've heard that doing lots of messy play can help them to be less fussy. Is this true?
Well, messy play, I don't know. Messing about with the food, I think I might encourage them to play with their food. I would say that when they make a fuss, and if your child refuses to eat something, then chill out. And you'll soon find that if you don't react to their, you know, their antics, they don't want to make a fuss anymore, because the whole point is that kind of it gets a reaction from you. So that's one way of dealing with it. The other way is, like, you know, eating as a family often helps. You're all sitting around the table or bringing another child in who eats very well. Healthy junk food, you know, if they won't eat certain things, make it look like the type of foods that they like. So your own healthy homemade burgers, your own healthy chicken nuggets. It's really important to give variety. And if you just stick to favourite meals, then your child's going to be fussy. But if you offer lots of different meals and you continue to offer variety, it's unlikely your child will be a fussy eater. And ethnic foods are very, very popular with kids. I do like satay chickens and stir fries and quesadillas and fajitas. And a lot of inspiration comes from, like, when I eat out in ethnic restaurants, I think, that's yummy. I bet I can make a really simple version of that, which children would like. And I go home and I think about what I ate. And I make a lovely curry that's mild. Or I'll make, like, a noodle stir fry, all kinds of things that kids like, with a bit of teriyaki sauce. You'd be surprised how children love that, and it opens their eyes to, like, different types of food.
I think, Annabelle, I was always quite anxious about giving food like that to my child, you know, because it seemed quite, you know, I think it's sort of an exotic
It's
grown up food. But actually, your books were the first time you'd see that interest.
Yeah.
It was okay to give your child, you know, curry or, you know, something, fajitas. You'd never really have considered doing that.
It was my children that taught me that. You know, I went out and they'd eat olives and they'd eat sushi and they'd eat curry. I thought, you don't like that. You're not going to like that. You're too, you can't eat that.
Yeah.
And they loved it. And then I started to think, well, I'm going to make that at home. And these were the foods that they loved. But it was the same when I started writing books on feeding babies. And everybody said they only like very bland food. So I'd have 20 babies, you know, around my kitchen table, and I'd give them really bland food, and then I'd give them food which had some garlic and herbs or cheese or interesting things in it. And guess what? They didn't like the bland food. They liked the food that tasted good, just like us.
Yeah. Fantastic. And the great thing is it brings them closer to be able to eat the same dinner that you're eating, because obviously you don't want to have bland food either.
Well, that's it. Then, you know, it's much easier to transition to family food. And that's the problem with jars and, you know, pouches. It's not like real food. It doesn't taste like real food. And the transition to real food is actually very difficult.
Yeah.
The fresh food is the best.
Thank you, Annabelle. Heidi also asks, on the question of sort of getting your child to concentrate on eating, she said her son was very easily distracted when I started weaning him at 5 months. Could I have got him to concentrate better, or was he just not ready?
I always think that when you're weaning a baby, A, it should be a time when you're not in a rush, because it can be quite slow. There aren't lots of people around. There aren't lots of distractions. You're in a room that's quiet. You sing to them. Maybe you put them on your knee and you cuddle them. Like breastfeeding, it's kind of a very kind of loving, emotional time. Why just feed them with a spoon when they're in a high chair? Why not cuddle them? And I think that will make a difference.
Mm, okay, so a little bit of sort of affection.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Mum baby time, and it's like a lovely kind of emotional time with you and your child. Just because it's not breast milk doesn't mean you can't still hug your child when you're feeding them.
So lots of relaxation from mum, be relaxed, and also maybe show some affection. Yeah, and get rid of that kind of anxious look on our face.
Yeah, that's right.
When the spoon approaches the mouth.
You must eat this.
But it's so easy to say, and first time round, I mean, you can't... You can't instill it if it's just not there. But it is a much more natural pose, isn't it, to sit your child on your lap and put your arm around it.
Yes, it's very nice at the very beginning.
Great. Okay, Annabelle, we've got another question. This is from Louise Kerr in Dublin. My daughter suffered badly with wind initially. My doctor felt it was a reaction to my breast milk. I'm a vegetarian and I plan to raise my child vegetarian. He advised that I cut back on dairy products and foods such as peppers, broccoli, grapes. I changed my diet. There was no improvement until she moved from breast to formula, and we've had no issues since. Now that she's ready to wean, I'm concerned about the return of wind and associated problems they might bring. Any advice?
Well, first of all, I think it's very unlikely that what you eat when you breastfeed actually makes any difference to your child, because you have digested it by then. And all this thing about you must be careful what you eat, apart from spicy food, which might change the taste of your milk, I don't think it affects it. So I don't think that's got any basis in fact. Wind, okay, the sugar in lactose, so in dairy foods, is a common cause of wind. So dairy foods can cause wind, and you can take certain types of medicine. I don't know what's recommended for very young children, but you can take certain types of medicine that can deal with that. Some vegetables like onions, cabbage, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts are known to cause wind, so I would avoid those. Too much in the way of fatty food can cause wind. Fiber can cause wind, which is why they always say, like, baked beans make you, as you know,
windy.
Mm-hmm. And so difficult to digest foods, because fiber makes it more difficult to digest, so those foods should be avoided. And carbonated drinks, which I don't suppose you're giving to a young child, but they can cause wind as well. So some of those foods should be avoided, but there are certain medications you can take so you can eat those foods and it be better and you'll feel better.
Okay, my turn now, Annabelle. From Belfast, one of our listeners, Gemma McCarran, has asked, Annabelle, when should you give young children protein?
Yes.
And what's bad about giving them protein?
That's a really good question, because people don't give protein early enough. That's what I think.
Really?
Yes. And you should be giving protein from 6 months.
From the day they turn 6 months?
From the day they turn six months.
Okay.
Because the iron they inherit from their mother runs out at 6 months.
Okay.
And they need iron. It's very, very important. Breast milk is not the best source of iron. Neither is cow's milk. And the best source of iron is red meat. And the way to cook it is to put it in a casserole and cook it for about an hour with lots of root vegetables and onions and make it really tasty and puree it. And they love it. And the other thing, the other protein that's very important from 6 months, is oily fish, because that is very important for the bing formation. So things like salmon are very important. And chicken is an excellent food. I do chicken, sweet potato and apple. It's delicious and very good for your child. And white fish is good too. And often, parents who are weaning at 6 months do fruit and vegetables, like for 6 months, 7 months, 8 months. And only at 9 months, they give protein, and that's no good, because the baby must have iron and essential fatty acids, and you won't get that from fruit and vegetables. And it's a common misconception about, oh, fruit and vegetables are good for my baby. First of all, they're very low in calorie, and babies need calories in order to grow. They need nutrient-dense food. So cheese and eggs are also good for babies. And it's not the same guidelines for babies. Babies need more fat in their diet than we do, the good quality fats.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you very much, Annabel. Last one from our listener questions from Catherine Reeves, who's here in St. Albans. She said, can you have tips for getting vegetables into kids who can spot a pea at 100 paces?
Yes. Lots of tips. Disguise, like blending them in a tomato sauce is a good idea. Raw vegetables, sometimes we'll eat raw vegetables rather than fresh. Pasta, because they love pasta. I do a lovely pasta, which is a vegetable fusilli. And I make a sauce, and I have broccoli and courgettes, I have peas in it, I have tomatoes in it. I make this lovely sauce. It's like so simple. It's like vegetable stock, creme fraiche, and some parmesan. And you put that into the pasta and the vegetables, and they love it. They really like it.
Mm. That's great. We're getting a bit peckish.
So vegetables, I mean, things they hold with their hands are good. You know, like sweet corn is good, and, you know, pieces of carrot they can hold with their hands. Those are all good.
Okay.
And the thing about vegetables is the more colourful the vegetable, the better it is for you.
Great stuff. Annabel, thank you very much. And now, I know we've taken a lot of your time. If we can just take a little bit more. We've put up a quick fire parent show question round.
Okay.
Are you ready to participate?
Yes.
Have you got your hand on the buzzer, Annabel? Are you ready to go? Are you ready? Here we go.
Okay.
Okay, first question. Salted or unsalted butter? Is it really that bad?
For babies, yes. Use unsalted. They can't have salt in the first year.
Not. I mean, just say once you put the
not
tiniest dollop. Nothing.
No, a tiny thing.
I don't mean the pinch, but I mean this salted butter. I mean, would it be a crime to put
No, if you put a very small amount, but I would choose to put unsalted butter. But if that's all you've got left in the fridge and you want to have something with butter for some reason, then you could use it. And actually, butter is not a bad food for babies. Again, it's, you know, it's giving them calories that they need to grow.
Plenty of fat.
Okay.
Great stuff. Next one.
Ready, Annabel. Tomatoes, seeded and peeled or not?
Well, I do seed and peel them myself.
I know, but it's a lot of work.
What I do is I cut across from the top and the bottom. I pour boiling water over them. I leave them there for a minute. I put them under the cold water, and then the skins come off really easily. Cut them in half, take the seeds out, and there you are. Otherwise, you know what happens? They just come out in the nappy.
Okay.
So they have their own way of de-seeding them if you can't do it.
I see.
Which is probably more efficient than the way we did.
Okay. Next question. Your favourite finger food?
My favourite finger food? Oh, gosh, that's a question. I like corn on the cob. I love corn on the cob. And you know what? The trick is not to cook it for too long. The longer you cook it, the more tough it becomes. And I also like, I put a little bit of butter in with it later. I love corn on the cob. It's delicious. And it's very good for you. And it's a vegetable.
And it's something the whole family can eat as well, isn't it?
I think it's very underrated, and kids love it.
Now, the next one was too much fruit. Is it possible? I think you have answered this a little bit.
It is possible.
It is possible.
It can cause diarrhea. It's, you know, low calorie. It can cause problems, too much fruit.
So bulk up the protein, especially for young children. They need the protein, especially after 6 months.
And good fats.
Yes, definitely.
Great. Second last question. Is it possible to try too hard? When do you back off?
I think we all have our own likes and dislikes. And I don't like beetroot. And nobody can make me like beetroot. And so I think babies have the same thing. And everybody says you should try it 19 times. I'm not sure about that. I think 3 or 4 times and they really hate it. Give it a rest.
Yeah.
Come back a couple of weeks later and try it again. And very often they might like it. But if they really hate it again, you know, I would respect their wishes, to be honest. Like us.
Right, and one very close to my heart, Annabel.
Yes.
Tips for constipated babies.
Well, that's interesting, because breastfed babies very rarely get constipated. It's the formula-fed babies that get constipated.
Right.
So a few things you can do. You can give them some diluted fruit juice, as well as the formula milk, or some extra water. Fiber is very important. So cereals like Weetabix will be good for your baby. And fruit purees, particularly apple and prune, are very good. And the other thing you can do is massage your baby's tummy. That can help as well, or give your baby a bath. But it's very often lack of fluids, and that's why. And it is interesting that breastfed babies are almost never constipated.
Yeah, that certainly is, definitely.
Great stuff. Annabel, thank you. Thank you so much for giving us your time this evening.
It's a pleasure.
There's a new iPhone app
available.
There
is, yes.
On your website. I think that's how you can click. You can just go to the iPhone
app store. It's lovely. It's got 100 recipes on it. It's got videos of how to make the recipes. And it's fantastic. It shows you everything you need to know about feeding your baby and toddler.
So I think that information is available on your website, annabelcarmel.com.
Yes.
But obviously, as well, we have a competition running tonight where we are going to be talking a little bit later on about another new project which you've got, which is Annabel's Kitchen. And we'll be talking, that'll be the source of our competition prize tonight, Annabel.
My TV series.
That's it.
Jimmy the Penguin. teaching children how to cook.
Oh, excellent.
I always wanted to teach children how to cook on television, and it was an absolute dream, and I made the television series in Ireland.
Did
Galway.
You? Really?
I filmed it in Galway. Well, in Teligale, actually, which is kind of outside of Galway.
Oh, lovely.
I lived there for 7 weeks. I take my dog with me for company.
Oh,
and my son was one of the producers, and it's the most fantastic series. It's 30 parts. It's very funny. It's got fabulous storylines, and it's got these penguins in it who are hilarious, and they're in the kitchen. And all sorts of fun things, like they go into the Guinness Book of Records and try to make the smallest omelette out of a flea egg. And it's just
brilliant.
But it's actually inspired children to cook. And every child who came on, because you have children in the show, they never wanted to go home. They were having such a great time.
And has that started to air already, Annabelle?
Yes, that's been out the first 15, and they're shown every day, in fact.
That's at 12:15 p.m. and CITV at 3:30.
And there's a website on CITV as well, which is called Annabelle's Kitchen, which is very popular, which has got lots of recipes and games for kids to play as well. It's been a very, very popular show.
Excellent.
Well, Annabelle, everything you do is popular. We're absolutely...
I'm not sure about that, but that's so nice you'd say.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lovely talking to you. Where are you based then?
We're based in St Albans,
right,
in Hertfordshire.
We're right in the heart of St Albans
as
we speak.
Oh, that's lovely.
You should come join us.
I'm sure I will. I've got my dog here with me.
Brilliant stuff.
He's always by my side.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Oh, lovely to talk to you all.
Take care, Annabelle. Thank you so much.
Okay, then. Bye.
Have a good evening.
All the best.
Hit me! Hi there, Laurel Radio Verulam listeners. It's Johnny Seabrook here to remind you that the Radio Verulam Sunday Lunchtime Show is on the air at midday every single Sunday. Informative guests such as Mr. D the Number Man and DIY Rob will be here just for you. We've got great music, teasing contests like the West Hearts Question and the Who Am I Guessing Game. Local chat and the ingredient of the week. It's all here for your pleasure every Sunday from midday on 92.6 FM, Radio Verulam. Let it be your perfect accompaniment to your Sunday lunch.
And as promised, we're just going to have a quick chat back with our two local moms who were listening to our conversation with Annabelle Carmel live in the studio. So we've got Jo Swindells and Helen... I've just said Whittington, I'm very sorry. Girls, what did you think? What did you get from our chat?
Well, I thought it was really interesting, and it is quite inspiring to go back to the cookbook and to splatter your kitchen with all of the purees. And I thought what she said about variety was really key, because I think I might be guilty of finding something that works, you know, tried and
Absolutely.
Tested, and getting a bit channeled into feeding my children something they'll eat.
You get paralysed. If you know something works, you just stick with it, don't you? You're tired, you've loads
that's
of
right.
other things to do, and it's like breaking the mould.
Yeah.
It's tricky, isn't it? But that's a real lesson to learn, isn't it?
I think as well, from her, you can take the courage to experiment. I mean, I think it is very scary to give your children something like chicken satay or a spicy casserole or curry. You just think they're not going to like the taste. But if they're not exposed to any of those tastes, as she says, then how are they ever going to become less fussy?
Mm.
What about you, Jo? What did you pick up from the chat?
I think there were two things that struck a chord. The first thing was you can give your children too much fruit,
yeah.
which is quite interesting.
Yeah, that's
and obviously there's a link between what you put in and what comes out the other end. But you know, that idea of too much fruit is quite interesting. But also, I think it's really important, I think, for a mum to be kind to themselves. And I think I don't think it matters if your child has two lots of pasta in the same day occasionally, and I don't think many mums have got time to hot boil a tomato and peel the skin off it, much as we'd all like to and aspire to. So I think you do have to remember to be kind to yourself as well.
I was really hoping she'd let us off the hook on that one, because I did it with my son.
She did make
everyone.
It sound easy though, Lydia.
I know. I did it. But now, you know, second time, I kind of go, really, really? Do I need to see them? Do I need to peel them? But okay, the word is yes.
I definitely like the tip about the thermos flask. I would never have dreamt of doing that. Or bringing a flask out with puree in it.
Absolutely.
Too easy.
Yeah. And I think also this idea of you can give them it cold, or you can give them it at room temperature, and actually there's a good chance they might like it more, or they might not notice.
Yeah, that is true, isn't it?
That was an eye-opener, all right. Great. Well, girls, thank you very much for coming into, ladies, I should say, for coming into the studio this evening. Thank you to Jo Swindells and to Helen Whittington for all your chat and conversation this evening.
And good luck with the weaning.
Thank you.
Right, so thank you also to Annabelle Carmel for chatting to us this evening. We'll be having answers to her questions up on our Facebook page In the next day or so.
That's right. And don't forget, you can also listen back on our podcasts on iTunes. Just put in Radio Verulam Parent Show and you can listen back to any of our shows on a range of themes. And we'd be delighted as well if you would just subscribe to our shows and you can download them for free. Also, we're on Facebook and Twitter at Parent Show. On Facebook, you can just, we've got our own page. We've also got a website, www.theparentshow.co.uk. Please get in touch. We'd love to hear from you.
That's great. Next week's show, we'll be talking about family finances. So it's a really important issue. We've got some great experts on.